We're going to be in Romans 12 mostly this morning, so if you would like to open your Bibles to Romans 12, just kind of keep your finger in it because we're going to be coming back to it again and again. We're going to learn this morning how to live in this cross-cultural, in this world in a cross-cultural way. The culture says one thing, we're living another way, and Paul begins this whole section of Scripture with therefore. Now, every good student knows when you find the word therefore, you have to go back in the Scriptures and find out why it's there for. We didn't all say that together. So you have to go back and find out what? Why it's there for. Anytime you come across a therefore, it's saying, in light of all of this, therefore, and then says something. So anytime you find a therefore, always go back and take a look. Let me catch you up on what the therefore was. The first 11 chapter of Romans, really, Paul talks about how far away we are from God and did that several ways through the world, through our culture, through our history. And then in the first three chapters, we'll find out that we are lost without God. Now, you and I know that, but to the culture he was preaching to in Rome, they didn't understand that at all. And then he makes this transition in chapter 6, where he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he makes this transition and begins to slowly explain and introduce Jesus to them and the impact Jesus had on them in their life. And for the first few chapters, he talks about God's grace and a new start and a new creature. And then we come to chapter 12. Therefore, now you understand what therefore is there for. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. On to verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, in light of God's mercy, in light of all these things I've just taught you about, a new start and God's grace and God's mercy, everything else pales in comparison. You can't continue thinking like the world. You have to have a change of mind. And we're going to work through Romans as we wrap up this series today. And we aren't left hanging with a what to do, but we want to talk about how to do. How to do. The very first in 12:9 says, love must be sincere. The New Living Translation says, don't just say you love people, really love them. This is our first point, really love people. For love to be sincere, there has to be no ulterior motive. When our youngest son, Josh, was third grade, he would come over to me and say, hey, Dad, can I give you a back rub? I go, sure. And he would get behind me and he'd start rubbing my back. And just about time I was thinking, I must have done something right with this kid. He'd stop, he'd run over and plop down in front of me. He said, now you do me. The desire for his old dad to get a back rub is a little self-serving. And that's okay when you're a third grader. But when you're an adult, it's not. The world teaches, not God, the world teaches, do unto others so they will do unto you. If I do this for you, what will you do for me? If I act this way for you, how will you act for me? And loving sincerely, really loving sincerely, has no expectation of payback. And the world, they think that's just crazy. Let me read you the entire verse. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And understand, this means you hate the evil that people do. I think there's so many out there in the media, people who are living lifestyles contrary to God's word, and they hear that we believe strongly about one thing or another that God's word says, and we think we hate them. And I got to be saying, sometimes the way we act, I could see how they could think that. But we're called to hate the evil people do, not the people. Those people are precious. Jesus died for those people. So they're precious in his sight, and it should be in our sight. Let me read you this now. It also says this. It says, cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. It's our second point. There's a contemporary equivalent to this word, cling, that's used here. Cling to what is good. Now, it's not in the Greek, but it's the equivalent today. It's the word Velcro. Now, you're thinking, they didn't have Velcro back then. And I agree, they didn't. But Velcro is the concept that they're talking about. Is there anything that better describes two things clinging to each other than Velcro? I mean, you just touch a little portion and you're just dragging the whole thing. You know, I have a CPAP mask I wear and it's got Velcro on it. And it's like a big ball sometimes because all the Velcro is stuck together and you got to kind of pull it apart and it's a real headache to do that. And it clings. Paul wrote this in Philippians, the fourth chapter. He said, you're familiar with this verse. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, here's that same Greek word, cling to, used a different way. Think about such things. It's the exact same Greek word. Cling to such things, like Velcro. Stick to them. You see, when we cling to things that Paul just described, we are being pulled toward God. Not the world, but toward God. And to the world, that's crazy. Romans 12 also says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's affectionately love one another. Affectionately love one another. When people in this building, people walk into this building, they might see the way we love one another. I mean, we see each other, haven't seen each other, and you gotta hug on each other, and you gotta come over and, hey, how's it going? And we talk to you, we spend time together. And some people, when they see that, they think, that's just crazy. That's just crazy you love somebody. That's not even your family. You just hardly barely know these people. But you love them like that? We sang a little earlier, they will know we are Christians by our love. See, that's how the world knows we're Christians. By the love. They don't care what you know. They don't care how many verses you have memorized. They don't care how eloquent you are. They want to see love in you. They want to see you exhibit love. Here's the second part of that verse we read. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. That word honor literally means to attach a price tag, a high price tag to people. You know, those of you with pets understand this. Our dog Bruno died several years ago of cancer, and we miss him terribly. And one of the things I most miss about that dog is his unconditional love. I would come in through the garage, and he is just so excited. I mean, he's running around, and he's barking, and he's like, oh, and as I walk in, you know, I can read his mind. Oh, please, please, please touch me. Please, 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 just touch me, just touch me, just touch me. Come on, please, 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 please. And I touch him, and right away, it's like, you know. if you have a pet, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That unconditional love. That's the love. Bruno would honor me. He would place a price above me, above everything. He liked Linda, but he didn't really, you know, love her. he'd come over and give Linda a lick, and then he'd come over and he'd just slobber my hand. And I said, I just taste better. I'm sorry. I just taste better. You see, putting that price tag on others above ourselves, higher than we do on ourselves, that's just crazy to the world, but it's what God says. Let me read verse 11. Never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. This is point four, number four. Live your life with spiritual enthusiasm. Never complain about having to serve because, friends, you get to serve. You don't have to serve. You know, it does my heart good. Your old preacher does. It does my heart flip-flops when I see some of our folk come in and they'll come over to the name tag desk or they'll come over to somebody working somewhere and they'll say, you got anything for me to do? You need help with anything? Can I help with any way? You know, they're just looking to serve. Anything I can do? I come in and I check to Lisa. Anything you need? Come in this town. You need anything today? Can I do anything? That just makes my heart go pitter-patter. Because that just tells me they understand. They get it. They're valuing others above themselves, and they're serving with enthusiasm. They don't have to, they get to. That word enthusiasm is an interesting word. It's two different Greek words together. The word en, which is within, and theos, which is God. So put these two together, you say God within. The idea is that the emphasis that we exhibit in our lives is an evidence of God within us. You get that? Isn't that clever the way that God's words just laid out there? Enthusiasm. When we have enthusiasm, we're showing that God is within us. But, you know, the opposite of that's true too. We're just kind of, looks like we've been baptized in pickle juice. There's no enthusiasm in that. We need to be excited about this. Jesus died for us. We have salvation. Heaven awaits. What do we got to be sad about? What do we got to be sad about? Put them together. Do they see God in us? This world, that's just crazy, but to a believer, it makes all the sense in the world. Verse 12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I see this as demonstrate a positive outlook. I used to listen to talk radio a lot. And I got tired of people belly aching about their life. Life's too hard. Taxes are too high. I don't like this politician. Food costs too much. No, no, no. I just want to scream, suck it up, buttercup. Life is tough. You have the best blessing you could ever have in Jesus Christ. You live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Our poorest are more wealthy than most of the rest of the world, and you're complaining? How can we not be joyful and patient and faithful when God has blessed us with so much? Verse 13 says, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. The Message version says, help needy Christians be inventive in hospitality. That's our number six, exhibit hospitality. That Greek word hospitality simply means, this is really, you may not realize this, it means entertain strangers, people you don't know. Some of you have been around for a while in Ocala. Back in 2004, we had three hurricanes hit. And hurricanes, you know, by the time a hurricane hits Ocala, most of Florida's wiped out. So when it hit Ocala by then, it had been a little easier. But still, we had trees down everywhere, loss of electricity. It was a mess. We had left just before the last hurricane to go to the airport because we had some missionaries, a missionary family of six with us. And we were going to the Ocala airport, and just as we got almost on property, they shut the airport down. So we turned around, came back, and our boys didn't have electricity where they were at. They were at college, and so they said, oh, I'll just go to Mom and Dad's. So we had 11 people in the house, and the power went out. And it was close. We have a small house. We have a starter home that got bigger when we kicked kids out. And so right that time, it was still pretty tight. I mean, I was so close to people, I had eaten half a meal, and I realized I was eating off somebody else's plate. I mean, that's just the way it was. It was tight. Well, we played games, and we talked, and we did all kinds of things we used to do around campfires. We did that. We listened to music on a battery-powered CD, and you know, the time just flew. Next thing you know, it was just, you know, it was gone. And we had such a great time spending time with those folks, building relationships with them. And it was great. What a blessing God had given us in hospitality for this time. And I think sometimes we just miss the boat. We miss the opportunity. How many of us are sitting around? We have an empty bedroom in our house, and it just sits empty. And there are people who have need, people coming through, people who... I got a call this week about a mission family that we're going to be coming in Ocala. Do we have a mission house? And I said, no, we don't have a mission house. How many of you? Oh, well, there's six of you. Well, you wouldn't fit in our one bedroom. Well, we tried it, though. We can try it. The thing is that we just don't think about it. Some of you are wonderful, wonderful with hospitality. You've opened your homes. Whatever you have, it's used for the Lord. That's just great. But that's what God calls us to do. Here is the verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. And I believe the author of Romans here is trying to say connect with others. Connect with others. We're living in a time when we don't even know the names of our neighbors. If you grew up like I did in West Virginia, well, you probably didn't, but if you grew up like I did in West Virginia, my neighbors are just as soon to paddle me as my mom and dad were if I did something wrong. It was like they had, you know, now we have cameras everywhere. That's nothing compared to neighbors. Neighbors see everything. I mean, I'm out riding my bike and I'm looking over there and there's Mrs. Masters looking at me just like this. I'm like, I didn't do it. Whatever it is, I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. I didn't do it. And now, you know, we don't even know who our neighbors are. We might, you know, give a wave at them, but we don't really know who they are. Because we haven't gotten past that. We haven't connected with others. You know, we have our people wear name tags here in Ocala Christian Church. And I know there's some people who hate wearing name tags. But I got to tell you, it's one of the best things we've ever done. And we really encourage you to keep doing that. Because people are more likely to talk to you if they know your name. Even if you're a stranger. They can start a conversation by looking at your name tag and calling you by name and talking to you. And say, I don't think I know you. Oh, your name's Tom. Oh, well, let's talk about that. Hey, but when we don't wear our name tags, that makes that harder. And I think one of the reasons why OCC is known for being such a friendly place is because we wear name tags. So I just want to encourage you, if you don't have a name tag, stop by the name tag desk. They'll make you one. If you've lost yours, let them know. They'll make you another one. We can keep on making them, and we'll just keep on making them. And that's one of the things. If you come as a visitor today, first time, you give us your name. Next week, there will be a printed name tag sitting on that desk for you, waiting for you. That's how important we think it is. We think that's one of the things. We have to connect with people. Wear those name tags. Talk to people. Here's the 16, verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. That's love God, love people. That's the first two steps of our mission statement. Love God, love people, and serve others. Love God and love people. When people walk in this door, they need to see the living examples of Jesus. They need to see God in us, enthusiasm. The world needs to see the same kind of love when we walk out the doors as well. You know, it's one thing, oh, we're all peachy keen sitting around singing Kumbaya. It's great in here. But we walk out these doors, it's almost like we're doing fine. All of a sudden, it's like we're putting on our game face to go into the world, you know? Let them see Jesus in us then, too. Let them see the enthusiasm. And you know, you're going to have people coming away saying, there's something about them. I don't know what it is. There's something about them. They got some kind of spirit about them, some kind of feeling about them. I don't know. I just like being around them. And you'd be happy to tell them why. Many of you may not know know this about our system here, but whenever a first-time visitor comes and gives us their email address, our software system is set up that it automatically shoots them a survey, anonymous survey, that they can fill out about our church. It's asking questions like, what did you see first? What made the biggest impression on you? How were you blessed? What could we change that you saw? And it asks those kinds of questions. And I decide, when I get those back, and again, most of them are anonymous. You can put your name, but most of them are anonymous. But people are just overflowing. They're saying, oh, the people were so friendly. Oh, people were just smiling. They were just happy to be there. Oh, I just loved the worship. Oh, the music was so great. People were singing. I go to some churches, and they just still stand there. But these people were singing. They were excited about it. They had a smile on their face. I enjoyed the preaching. He had pretty good jokes, you know. That's usually what they comment on. But, you know, when I get those, I'm just excited because that's somebody's view of what's going on here. Because I'm blind. I got blinders on. I've been here 2 million times. I've been here too long. I can't see some of the things other people see. And I just get the biggest grin when I read those. This congregation reflects that second part of the verse. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And over and over and over again, I've talked to folks who've been invited to come and visit with us, and you see them huddling after church and talking, people talking about the history of the church, where they're from. I see bankers serving coffee. I see authors serving in the nursery. I see business owners, retired law enforcement people serving communion, and I could go on and on and on. Because it doesn't matter who you are or what your background is, they're willing to serve. This is a congregation who understands that we're all in this together. We're a family, and family serves family. Our next verse is number 17. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And this is remember your witness. I tell the story of myself. Right over here in the corner, this intersection, 36th and 7th Street, I was coming north on 36th Avenue, and as I was coming up, the light started changing yellow, and I started slowing down, and it turned red just as I stopped. And there was a pickup truck behind me, and he's blowing his horn. He wanted me to go through the light, and he's blowing his horn. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, I'm not going to run this red light. I'm just going to sit here. And I look back in the rearview mirror, and he's got a cowboy hat on. It's a big pickup truck. I can hear country music coming out of the side. Not that that's bad if you like country music. God loves you, too. But he was really playing it, and it was really loud. He was screaming, yelling at me, and he's blowing his horn. And I'm just like... A guy pulled up alongside me, ready to turn on 7th Street, and he stopped, and he looked back at that, and he looked over at me, and he just like, and I said, yeah. Well, apparently the guy behind me saw us and realized we're laughing at him, which we were. And he starts winging and slinging other appendages at me and blowing the horn, and I'm thinking like, oh, this is great. You know, what are we going to do now? And the light changes. I'm thinking, oh, great, I'm going to pull into the church parking lot. He's going to kill me. Pastor slain in church parking lot. I can read it now. And I think, or he's going to think, oh, well, just a bunch of Christians. What do you expect about Christians? They can't drive any. So I went down to the corner, turned around, and looked right around, just so he didn't know I'd turn into the church parking lot. I'm confessing. I did that. I don't need the hassle. I don't need the headache. But, you know, you've got to be careful of your witness at all times, standing in line, driving. I know driving. I don't know about stepping on toes, but even driving, you need to mind your witness when you're going out to a restaurant. I'm a big believer in tipping those servers, being faithful. Can you talk about your faith? Oh, this Sunday, you're all dressed up from church. You're all going to go someplace. Not all, but some of you are going to go play someplace to eat, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to talk about church and this and that, and then you're going to leave, and you leave this poor waitress or waiter this poor little tip. What a poor witness that is. You ought to bless them as much as you can. I always try to write on there, God bless you. Here's a great tip. God bless you. Have a great day. That made their day. Anything like that can bless somebody, why not do it? Why not? Surprise the world with kindness. That's number 10. Surprise the world with kindness. Let me read the remaining of this text. The very first verse is one of my favorites. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I'll break that down into those three parts. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. That means... don't continue conflict just because you're hard-headed. Don't continue conflict because of your pride or your position or your money or your power or whatever. Don't let it ruin your witness. Be at peace. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You ever heard that phrase, kill him with kindness? That's where it came from. This verse is simply saying, demonstrate kindness and compassion, and it will have a positive attitude on the relationship. Understand this. People don't need to hear religious arguments. They need to see Jesus in you. That's what they need. Because I think there are a lot of people who win the battle but lose the war. Andrew Davidson of the Colgate Rochester Seminary tells this story of visiting 85-year-old Dr. Albert Schweitzer on the banks of the Ungawi River in Africa. It was 11 a.m. The African sun was very high. Davidson and Schweitzer were walking up a hill when Dr. Schweitzer veered to the right to an African woman struggling to carry that day's firewood, up the hill. And Dr. Schweitzer at 85 was able to finally make it up the hill with the wood and drop it at her stove and then came back over and joined Davidson. Davidson said, at 85, should you be carrying such a load up a hill? Dr. Albert Schweitzer looked into his eyes, and he simply said, "It isn't really about why I did such a thing. It's really why you didn't." The world sees kindness and compassion and says, "That's just crazy." And the right friends, it's crazy. Crazy love. Crazy love that the world doesn't know, but we know who are in Christ. That's the kind of love he has for us. Friends, this study, this series we've been having, it isn't about getting more bucks. It isn't about complaining about finances or stewardship or giving or any of those things. That's not what this has been about. This series has been about understanding how much God loves you. I believe all my heart, once you understand how much God loves you, when you understand how much Jesus did for you, when you understand the sacrifice that he made, giving becomes one of the easiest things you do. It's the easiest thing. It all begins by accepting his grace and surrendering your will to him. It can happen this morning if you understand how much God loves you. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are so embarrassed by the way we live sometimes. Embarrassed by the way we fail to represent you truthfully. Embarrassed by sometimes how we don't let people see Jesus in our lives. Father, we ask for forgiveness for those failures. Your love is great and your forgiveness is long-suffering. We ask forgiveness for those times. And Father, as we bring this service to a close, we pray that we leave here today with a new desire to reflect you in all things in our lives. When we're going to work, when we're going to the grocery, when we go to the doctor, when we go to any place in our lives, go to work, any place we go, when people interact with us, our prayer needs to be, Father, help them to see Jesus in me. It isn't about me. It isn't about us. Father, it's about you. We're living our lives to an audience of one. Help us to live those lives that bring honor and glory to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I always